Good morning out there. Hope everybody is doing good on this beautiful Sunday. If you're not out enjoying the beautiful weather, or maybe you are, you've got a cellular device and you're watching from outside, we want to welcome you just for the next few moments to take a break from the chaos and the craziness that is coronavirus and all of the news on that, and just to stop and to focus. And so that's what we'll do here this morning is got the lovely Miss Anna Warner with us, is going to lead in some worship. And I'm going to open the word with you here in just a little bit. So hope that's a blessing to you. Let me pray with you. Join us in that moment of just being still and knowing that God is in control. He is on the throne. He is not thrown off by any of the chaos that is in our world right now. And he is leading us and guiding us. And so we want to pray for that. We want to pray just for the next few moments that as we gather, that we just enter his presence and just listen to what his Holy Spirit has for our hearts. So you pray with me this morning, wherever you're at. Father, we thank you again for the gift of technology that we can gather together in this way, in this time. And Father, we pray for your church, your body, that as we just anticipate just the world and the way things are right now, Father, that we would just learn to follow you. That's what we're talking about today, is that we would just really seek after you, to listen to your Holy Spirit, to follow you, God, wherever you lead us to. And so we thank you for the gift of Jesus, his sacrifice, his grace, his mercy and compassion that makes that relationship possible, one that is living and active and doesn't just stop with words on a page, but that, God, you continue to lead and guide us. And so this morning, as Anna leads us, we just pray that in these next few moments, that as we worship you in song, that, God, you just speak and minister to our heart, draw us into a place where we can receive what your Holy Spirit has for us this morning in your word. We thank you, we love you, we pray, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where you go, go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight. Joy, unending joy. This poor man cried. hurt me and save me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds his saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them. Magnify.
I know you were clapping at home. That is good stuff. And I'm going to move your computer very carefully. I promise I will move it back. All right. Well, I hope everybody is good wherever you are watching at this morning. Hopefully you're watching outside and enjoying the beautiful weather. We were still able to go out this morning and provide meals through American Lunch. I just want to say this. Their restaurant is Five, and it is Birmingham, Mobile, Tuscaloosa, I believe. I hate if I'm missing somewhere. But I told some of our guys out there this morning that when everything gets back to normal, we need to go for a meal and hang out and bless those guys for just an amazing partnership this has been. And so thank them any way you can, even if you want to hop on and send them an email or just a word of encouragement on social media. It's been amazing. Breakfast burritos this morning, hash browns. We're able to pass out a bunch of those along with a meal for everyone. We did that safely, and I can tell you, our folks that gather out there in the parking lot, we are ready to get back to normal just like you are in your life. And so I'm excited for those days to come, but grateful that we continue in the way we are for now. All right. Well, we're going to be back in the book of John this morning. Last week, we saw Jesus call his first disciples. We saw Andrew for sure by name, and then one that I said I believe from my study is the beloved disciple, John, that they were actually disciples of John the Baptist. But we know for sure Andrew and another unnamed disciple. And then we saw Andrew run and tell his brother, Simon, who was about to get a new name, run and tell him, we have found the one, the Messiah, the one that has been promised. And so we saw these two disciples of John the Baptist leave John the Baptist and go and follow Jesus. This come and follow moment, this moment where Jesus was asked, well, where do you stay? And he says, come and see. And so there was this grand invitation. I believe this invitation continues not only in Scripture today, but to your heart as well, wherever you're at this morning, that there is a personal invitation that Jesus is offering. Come and follow me. Come and see. Let's get into the Scripture this morning. We'll pray and then kind of look from there. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you now believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Will you pray with me? Father, this is your word. We believe as the church at Southside, this faith family that gathers together, we believe that this is your word. Not just to retell a story, but to speak to our hearts that it's living and active. And so, Father, we pray that in this short story today, that Holy Spirit, you speak to our hearts. We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we see it very starts out very simply. It says, the next day. And so just again, that quick recap, Jesus has just called his first disciples, Andrew, we believe John, and then we know Simon as well, who was given this new name as Peter. And so he's called these disciples, these two, Andrew and another, come from John the Baptist and start following Jesus. They walk with him. They accept the invitation to follow him and to come and see. And so we see that, and then immediately it says, the next day. So the next day from this calling, Jesus decides to go to Galilee. And we see a character introduced that would be a disciple, Philip from Bethsaida. It says the city of Andrew and Peter, so likely that they might have even known each other. And we see this same thing, follow me. Jesus says that. He says he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Again, this is a repeat from what we have just seen, a repeat of the conversation, if you will, and one that I believe has been repeated throughout the ages, that the same call exists to you and I to follow Jesus. And so we see in this story that Philip, much like Andrew, if you remember just a few verses back, Andrew, once he sees Jesus and believes that, hey, this is the Messiah, he goes and tells his brother Simon Peter, he says, I have found the one. I have found the Messiah that's been talked about all of these years. There is the one. And we see the same thing happen in today's scripture. It says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. So Philip is excited here. He has been given this call to Philip, follow me. And he immediately goes and he finds Nathanael. He says, we have found him. It's kind of a repetitive story, but this is nonetheless the calling of Jesus. And then there's a little humorous moment. I like to think that Jesus has a sense of humor. Since he is the creator, the author of all things, the creator of humor itself and emotion and everything that's wrapped up in the human experience. And it says that Philip goes and tells Nathanael, we have found this one who Moses and the law and the prophets and everybody has talked about, and it is Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael kind of throws a diss at Jesus' way, and he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, I like to imagine that Jesus kind of has a moment of laughter with Nathanael over this. But in verse 47, verse 48, we see perhaps some of the first beginning, and I kid in this, so don't freak out, but a Jedi mind trick by Jesus himself. I'm not saying that Jesus is in the Star Wars universe or anything like that, but this is nonetheless one of those moments where as he hears this story unfold and he hears Nathanael say, could anything good come out of Nazareth? And then he is introduced, he talks to Nathanael and he says this, I know you because you were sitting under the fig tree. Can you imagine that moment there? Can you imagine the moment where Nathanael says, how did he know that, right? Like if you've ever watched, one of my favorite videos to watch is when someone really pulls. I showed Jamie one the other day. I believe it was Randy Moss. And he was shown this magic trick where a card was in a football. You remember me showing you that? I love to see people's reaction, that mind-blown moment. Can you imagine Nathanael being in just regular life and he's already dissed Jesus and said, how could anything good come from Nazareth? And then Jesus says, oh yeah, I know who you are, Nathanael. You were sitting under a fig tree when Philip came and talked to you. We see the response here. It was enough for Nathanael. Nathanael said, I'm all in. He says, Rabbi, good teacher. By the way, I'm in. I will follow you wherever. You know some stuff. You knew me by name and you knew where I was sitting when Philip came. Like, how did you know that, right? For you older folks listening this morning, I remember as a child, am I on candid camera here? Like, what's going on? And so Nathanael has to say, man, there is something about this guy. And so along with Philip, he is the one that is saying, yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will come and see. I got to see more of this. And if he wasn't ready already to do so, listen to what Jesus says in verse 50. You will see greater things than these. I just like to stop and think about Nathanael's mindset at that moment. Like just to think about how his mind is blown to the point of even human understanding. He says, how did you know where I was sitting? How do you know my name? And all of these things that he had to be thinking. And then Jesus drops the bombshell. You, if you follow me, if you come and see as the invitation has brought to you, you will see even greater things than these. He doesn't just leave it there. Verse 51 says this, heaven will open, angels of God will ascend and descend on the Son of Man. Wow. Two things I want to say right there. I'm at the end of verse 51, so I just want to tell you this. The first wow, though, I want you to think about this. The disciples, this small little group, it hadn't even gotten to its original 12 at this point. And they're hearing Jesus say, I know who you are. I know where you were sitting. I know what you were doing when you were called. And by the way, you'll see greater things. Can you imagine the moment? Wow. I mean, we're going to see some amazing things. Now, I don't know how long we've been going on this video, but another wow moment for you is, man, Keith's already made it to the end of the passage. This thing's going to wrap up pretty quick, but not so fast. You see, this is an amazing historical retelling of Jesus calling the disciples, but I believe there is so much more to the story and such a timely message for the world that we are in right now. I want us to circle back. I want us to think about these two callings that we've just read. I want us to think about Andrew, John, and Peter. I want us to think about Philip and Nathanael, and both get a similar invitation. To Philip in verse 43, follow me. It's such a simple calling. It's two words, right? Follow me. Can you imagine encountering Jesus, God in the flesh, and him saying to you personally, follow me? And then in verse 46, Philip, being a good friend, a good brother to Nathanael, goes to him and says, you've got to come and see. If you remember, this wording is very similar going back to Andrew, John, and Peter, this follow me and this come and see. You remember Jesus last week was asked. He was asked a question. He says, where do you stay? And he didn't just tell them the answer. You go down the street, and if you go over that camp, or if you look for the fire by night, you'll see me out by the woods. He said, come and see. It was an invitation, a personal invitation to join him on this journey. I am here to tell you, I believe that these two words, follow me, and then the statement, come and see, is an ongoing invitation through the ages. I believe it's still being said today over and over. Follow me and come and see. It's an invitation that still is being offered today. And yes, for the bride of Christ, if you're not familiar with that term, the body of Christ, the church that Jesus is the head of, yes, it is an invitation. Come and follow me. Come and see. But this is a personal invitation this morning. I can't tell who's watching this morning, but I want to just offer a personal invitation, not from me. I don't have very much to offer right now. I can't even invite you to my house in the world we live in, but I can offer you an invitation that is so much greater than just an individual gathering. I can offer you an invitation that I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to anyone watching this video live or later. I believe the Holy Spirit is offering the invitation, come and follow me. And not just there, but a personal invitation of come and see. In other words, for those of you that may be like Nathanael would say, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Could anything, this 2,000-year-old story, be anything to it? I would challenge you with this, that the Holy Spirit today would say, come and see. Give it a try. In fact, I'll say it this way. I didn't plan on saying this, but I feel led of the Holy Spirit to say this. Believe it's active, something in our heart, something in our mind, that still small voice sometimes, or sometimes, if you're like me, that voice that maybe even has to speak a little louder than the still small voice. If you've been going through life, and life as it is right now in April of 2020, and all of the craziness that's in our world, and you've been going about life on your own, how's that working for you? Would you accept his invitation and just come and see? I mean, there's no strings attached at that point. You don't even have to have a moment just yet of pushing all chips on it. Just come and see. Let him work out the rest of the details with you. It's a personal invitation to follow him and to come and see. I promise you, these original disciples, we know Peter's attitude. We know just the dealing it was for Jesus to have to constantly deal with this man by the name of Simon Peter, always ready to draw a sword and pick a fight, always overrunning his mouth about, no, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet, right? Peter is this lovable character that probably we can relate to. And at this point in the journey, as he's began to follow Jesus, I promise you, Peter was not all in, but he was invited to come and see. So I challenge you this morning, if you are walking through this life on your own and trying it, and you're just saying, man, nothing makes sense, nothing is working about this life, then I challenge you, come and see. Follow Jesus. Give it a shot and see what he'll do with that. I want to ask you the question this morning, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Here's what I want to tell you first. I want to tell you what it's not. It's not list after list. It's not religious hoops to jump through. It's not magical prayers or Sunday school attendance or church attendance or church membership. I want to just go ahead and set the record straight. It is none of those things. That's not what following Jesus is. That's a man-made system. It doesn't mean that you won't be a part of those things, but the heart of it, the reasoning behind why you would do such a thing is so much different when you enter into relationship over religion. Following Jesus is so much more. In fact, I've got a good friend of mine, Stephen Shirley, that gave me a book called that very same title, Following Jesus. It's by Henry Nouwen. And it's an amazing book because I want to be at a place where I have this deeper following, this deeper calling to who Jesus, quite honestly, created me to be. And here's where I said, I believe earlier, that following Jesus, the idea of seeking this deeper relationship with Him is such a timely message. I read this book, and as I'm reading it, I read this statement early on, but I want you to listen. It's by Henry Nouwen, and he says this, that following Jesus is moving away from fear and towards love. Let me read that again this morning. That following Jesus is moving away from fear and towards love. What a timely message. Everywhere you look now, everywhere you turn, some of us don't have to turn any further than looking in the mirror. Everywhere you turn, you see fear. You see worry. You see anxiety. And even in the church, what I mean by that is not the building with the steeple that's vacant. By the way, if you've put all your hopes on that's the church, aren't you feeling kind of desperate right now? It's never been about the building with the steeple. The church is the people. It's something we are, not somewhere we go. But even the church, the believers, the body, the bride, the beautiful bride of Christ that we can rise up and be at times, we get so religious and so ritualistic and so mundane as we go through life. Even the church, the ones that are founded in Jesus Christ, are so stinking fearful right now. I understand all of the craziness going on in our world, but the same church is being so, man, I've seen this verse quoted a million times since all of this has been going on. 2 Timothy 1:7, about God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're church, I must ask, who is then giving it to us? Because we have it. If it's not from God, it's coming from somewhere. I'm not talking about caution. I'm not talking about wisdom. I'm talking about fear. Laying awake at night, scared to death over what's going on in our world. That is not from God. It's from the enemy. It's blatant. It's spiritual attack. It is warfare. If we believe as Christians that we are these followers of Christ, that we have been invited in this journey, then this is spiritual attack. If you have a spirit of fear right now, the word tells you, you don't have to debate it. You don't have to search a commentary. It's plain for us to see that if you have a spirit of fear, it has not been given to you by God. It must be given by something or someone else. Let fear go. I'm not saying don't be cautious. I'm not saying don't use wisdom. Hear me in that. Do not be afraid. That is not from God. Following Jesus, again, is moving away from fear and towards love. That verse goes on to tell us that really, the spirit that has been given to us is one of courage and one of love. What a timely message. In fact, I was talking with a good friend this week, John Whaley. Many of you that are watching this will know John Whaley, a good friend, a good brother of mine. And he said this week. In fact, I told him, I said, I'm writing that down. And John is so humble. John said, I don't think that's an original statement. I said, well, I've never heard it put that way by anybody else, so I'm giving you credit. So John Whaley, if you're listening this morning, thank you for your original and timely statement. It is hard for fear and faith to coexist. I want you to think about that this morning. Because we may be facing everything, say, man, I've got faith in Jesus, but we're so fearful. Do we really have faith? Maybe a little bit. It's a good thing that the scripture says that faith is tiny as a mustard seed, right? That may be all we can muster up right now. But I challenge you to seek out that faith instead of fear. Again, moving away from fear and moving towards love. Thank you for that, John Whaley. Faith over fear. Man, isn't it easy to believe when life is smooth? I mean, isn't it? I'll be honest, I've got a business that I'm running. I don't bring in a paycheck from the church at Southside. Don't want one. I've got a job that and in this economy, man, I can't tell you the thoughts that come to my mind. I think, man, it's all on me. I got to figure this out. I got to make the right decisions. No, that's fear. It's got to be faith. Moving towards that love that is Jesus. How will we provide? How will my job hold up? How will all step away from fear and step towards love? In this following Jesus, what if our people that are the church, that we removed our eyes from fear and fixed our eyes on Jesus? I want to be honest, I believe that's why the church is still here in times like this, that we are a beacon of light pointing to the light. That we are called to show a world in chaos that there's peace, that there's hope. We point to something. Or do they see us running around like everyone else with fear and worry and anxiety and worry over a virus or economic failure, uncertainty? We fix our eyes on Him. Hebrews 12, you know this one, that we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, or some translations, the finisher of our faith. Can I tell you what that verse means? That you have no say over when your life began, how it is preserved, or when it will finish. But we fix our eyes on the one who does, the author, the perfecter, the maintainer, the one who preserves, and the one who will finish. By the way, that's such a negative connotation. We look at that and say, man, I don't want Him to finish my life. Well, let me tell you, there's something even greater waiting for us in the restoration of all things. When all things are made new, all things are made right, everything that is lost is gained back, and then some. But let me tell you this, I'm glad that He has the final say over my life. Jesse does such a wonderful job in that of singing and talking about that He has the final word over your life. What you are painting over your life right now, maybe as you doubt or as you're afraid, if you are a son or daughter, He has the final say, because at one point in your life, you have trusted and given your life to Him, and you have fixed your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. I want to challenge you as you follow Jesus in these crazy days, as you accept the invitation, not just to follow me for salvation, but you continue to follow. By the way, I don't want to stir up controversy here, but some of you watching feel that this is the only way God speaks. Let me tell you, He will never contradict His word, but I believe the Holy Spirit is living and active and speaks into our life. For those of you that do not have the Holy Spirit, and that's no special thing you've got to do to earn that other than give your life to Christ, I believe His Spirit is in you at that point. There's nothing you can do to lose that. But as you have that Spirit, I believe He continues to speak of your life. He will not contradict His word, but this is not where He stopped talking. I can tell you good proof of that is the church at Southside. There's three leaders sitting in here this morning that have been a part of the church at Southside since the beginning. We could tell you none of us plan to do what we do now is how we gather. Am I right, guys, that are in here? They're nodding their head yes. You can't see them, but I promise you, I'm telling you the truth. We did not plan this. It was led by the Holy Spirit, not from just His word. Yes, He used His word, but the Holy Spirit called us to go. It's not just some kooky thing. It's worked too well to be planned up by man. None of us planned it out. I had nothing to do with the plan to go. That is the Holy Spirit. All we have simply done is listen and say yes. It was a follow me. In those beginning meetings, guys, if you think about that, this really what it was. Follow me and not just for salvation, but follow me and what I want you to do, what I've called you to do. And I think back to those, well, what if, or what if this happens, or what if that, come and see. That's what Jesus was saying, come and see. And that's what he's telling you today. That's what he's asking. And by the way, he's not going to force you to that. It's an invitation. Follow me and come and see. In these crazy times, what if in that following, what if in following Jesus, that you stayed close to the invite of come and see? Here's what I believe will happen if you do, that as you see, as you look on Christ, you will see the beauty, the love, the grace, the mercy, the compassion that is Jesus, the Christ. And when we do that, when we fix our eyes on him, we remove it from, by the way, this is a prescription that is going to blow some of your mind, is going to help you. Turn off the news. I don't care what station, just turn it off for a little while. I'm not saying don't stay informed. I'm not saying don't follow guidelines. Don't put that on me. Listen to me. Some of you are consumed right now. Turn off the news, breathe, relax, and fix your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. Just come and see. Fix your eyes on him, the beauty, the grace, the mercy, the compassion that is Jesus. And as you do so, he is going to become clearer in vision. And then when you see the beauty of Christ, the following becomes all the more easier. It's gonna, like the old hymn, right? When you turn your eyes on Jesus, the things of this world become strangely dim. Strangely in the sense that you can't explain that unless you accept the invitation to follow him and come and see. It is an invitation. I want to say this in closing this morning. The come and follow me and come and see, I believe, is a two form of calling, a two type of calling. One, it's a universal calling. I will fight you on this. Listen, I get it. My Calvinist friends are out here watching. I believe, though, that this is a calling for everyone. I believe anyone can accept this invitation. Fight me on it if you want. I believe the love of Jesus is enough for everyone. That it's an invitation for everyone. It is an invitation to follow me. If you are listening this morning, compelled by the Holy Spirit, something inside of you, then you have the ability to accept the invitation to follow him. This is a universal calling into salvation, to follow him, to come and see. It is universal. But then, man, this is the beautiful part. It's also personal. As I said, I don't have a phone sitting here. I can't tell who's watching it. There may be nobody watching this, but maybe I need to just hear this morning. It's a personal calling. So as you're watching this morning, I've done this before in the past few weeks, but I just want you to stop for a second, and I want you to say your name. Just, you don't have to yell it. Especially if you're outside and you're at a park or you're, you know, I don't want anybody to think you're crazy just yelling your name out. Just softly say your name. For example, this is really high tech. I'm telling you how to say your name. But my name is Keith. I would just say Keith. It's a personal invitation. Keith, will you follow me? Keith, come and see. You see, I believe that's the heart of Jesus, more the heart portrayed of Jesus than the one that's hacked off at you because you've done so much wrong or you hadn't done enough right. I believe that's the invitation, is more that if he could stand here and talk to you in the flesh, let my words be what he would say. You, fill in the blank, follow me. You, come and see. And just start there. Again, at this point, you don't have to like sell everything and, you know, move to the mount. Like, I'm just let him do the rest. Just follow him and just come and see. It's an invitation that I believe is personal. It's an invitation I believe that is offered. Yes, you that is sitting there this morning, Holy Spirit laid this on my heart. The one that is saying right now, not for me. Because of that thing I did, because of that thing I didn't do, because of the thing I'm doing now, because of the thing I did last. Stop. I want to disarm the enemy in that. Has nothing to do with what you've done. Grace is defined itself as unmerited favor, something you do not deserve. And it's a gift. And your name has been spoken before the foundation of the world, where he says, follow me, come and see. The invitation is simple, and I pray that you accept it. One of the things I'm finding interesting at one of the places I'm in this book, it now and says this, that the Christian life does not put people in a mold. And what that means is that really our faith is not a cookie cutter discipleship. It is not one for all. I will tell you, there are certain things that we are all called to, but I believe just as he's created us each with different personalities, different giftings, different the ways we carry ourselves, that your calling is going to be different than mine. Yes, it will be to point people to Christ. That's going to be the calling in all the things that we grow this family of God. And yes, to fix our eyes and the passages that we know. But how that is worked out is different for each individual. That is how we know the Holy Spirit still speaks. It's not going to be the same for me that it is for Jamie. It's not going to be the same for me that it is for Brantley. It's not going to be the same for me that it's going to be for Anna. It is going to be different callings, all pointing to the same Jesus, that follow me and come and see. I want to read you this quote before I close and pray, and Anna's going to come and lead us in one more, but I just want to read this one more time. If you're interested in this following him, this come and see moment, what does it look like to follow Jesus? It is moving away from fear and moving towards love. I want to ask it in this way before I pray. Would our world look a little different right now in this chaotic time if those of us who have the Holy Spirit of God, again, nothing special we've done, we've accepted the invitation to follow him, that we're all in. We said, yes, Jesus is my Savior. You have the Holy Spirit. We are the church. We are the believers. We are the beautiful bride of Christ. If we weren't so fearful, if we weren't so worried, if we weren't so anxious, if we weren't whatever adjective you want to use to describe, and we fixed our eyes on him, we moved away from fear, we moved towards love, and we showed others the way that they could have peace in their life. I'll tell you, that's what our world needs right now. And God has left us here. God has put us in charge of his mission, his mandate to offer that invitation to anyone. Listen to me this morning. Anyone who will listen. Come and follow him. Come and see. Say this in closing. Follow him. Come and see. Father, we thank you for this morning that you've given us just to come together. It's been good for me this week just reading and studying on this subject about following you. I feel this is such a timely message. Father, in the sense of our world needs to, especially, I won't put the world in that, the church, excuse me. Father, we need to step away from fear and step towards you and love and just all of your message, your gospel, and just invite others to do the same. Father, if we do just that, you will do the rest. And so, Jesus, help us in that. Lead us in that. Holy Spirit, as I've said this morning, beyond just reading your word, that's a great thing. That's a great practice. And you will never contradict your word that's already been given, that's been spoken. But Holy Spirit, you still speak. And so lead us and guide us. I think folks know what I'm talking, but just that simple, just the times that we're somewhere and we see someone need and that just impression on our heart, hey, tell them this or give them that or, you know, ask them their name. You know, we know that. We believe that's your Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, move us to compassion, move us to away from fear and away to fixing our eyes on you. If we didn't fix our eyes on maybe the news right now, again, not to not be cautious or wise, but if we would take our eyes from that or take our eyes away from our retirement, our 401k, to take our eyes away from our job, to take our eyes away from the economy or take our eyes away from whatever we're fixated on right now and take our eyes from that and fix our eyes on you. Man, what an amazing time for the church right now. By the way, reminder, Father, you know this. The church is not our buildings. It's not our programs. It's not any of that stuff. In fact, I pray you're stripping that away from my heart. I pray you're stripping that away from my brothers and sisters' heart, that you take us as a body, as a family that is all coming together over you, that we fix our eyes on you steadfast, that we don't turn around, we don't look back, we just fix our eyes on you and just trust that you're going to see us through this crazy time we're in. That's our hope. We cast our lot with you and we just say yes, not only for salvation, but today and tomorrow and the next, we will follow you and we will come and see. You've invited us on a grand adventure to continue to follow you. So we're in. We say yes. And I pray that those listening this morning would say, yes, I'll follow you. Yes, I will come and see for the first time for salvation and then for just a life of discipleship. Yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will come and see. I pray your blessings over everyone that's listening this morning. You speak to their hearts, not just now, later as they watch or later as you continue to bring thoughts about this time together this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Presence of my enemies, though the arrow flies and the terror of night is at my door, I'll trust you, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside the shadow of death, I beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever.